while the world looks upon me as I struggle along. They say I've got nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart, I'm rejoicing. How I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. 'Cause there's a roof up above me, and I've got a good place to sleep. There's food on my table, shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I've got you. And that's all that matters, though the world may not see. And I thank on me, 'cause there's a roof up above me, and I've got a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Used to sing this song, we had it on a recording, and we would mess the words
up on purpose, and we would sing there's a roof up above me, I've got a good place to sleep, there's shoes on my table and food on my feet. And wouldn't you know it, one of the times I was singing that song right here in church, and I sang, there's shoes on my table and food on my feet. My mom always would say to us, don't sing those songs wrong. You're going to mess it up in church. And one day I did do it. You know what? If God's been good to you and he's blessed you, and I know he has, and you know he has, why don't we sing that chorus one time before Rev comes to preach? There's roof up above me. I've got a good place to sleep, and there's food on my table. Shoes are on my feet. Ready? Here we go. There's a roof up above me. I've got a good place to sleep.
That's good. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now, in old-fashioned churches, we used to have testimony time. Anybody have a testimony? No, we're going to do a lot of preaching this morning. Then you can develop a you have a testimony. What are you thankful for? Yes, sir. We got a young man right there.
I was thankful for the tumor. It was benign.
My wife. Amen.
Thyroid.
Praise God. For the blessings on me. Miss Nancy.
I'm thankful for the Bible and its truth.
Amen. You all know Miss Nancy? They don't know you?
I do.
You do, okay.
My mother should know you. That's Sharon.
There you go. We go back a long ways. I'm not tell you the history, but anyway, how can I say just a few words? Thank God for the blessing on me and Ma. Amen. Having you around, your family, it's been great. Somebody else with a blessing. Way back yonder.
I'm thankful for a home in heaven.
For a home in heaven. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. Going to see Jesus. Can't wait. Heaven, so what? Wonderful, bright and fair. Praise the Lord. We're going there. Somebody else. Yes, ma'am.
I'm thankful for the blessing of my family.
Amen. Thank God for the blessing of your family. Good. Yes, sir.
Blessing for my salvation.
Amen. Good, good. And your voice. Amen. Yeah. The angels cry when I say it. Someone else. Yes?
Freedom to go to church at these times.
Freedom to go to church every time.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't appreciate it until you lose it, or you've been real close to it and see all that goes on. Praise God. Every time you're able and capable, you ought to come to church. Amen. Over here, we got a good point. Is it play that way? We're going to go with you.
Right. The first song we sang tonight was, or this morning, was Till the Storm Passes By. And I always come back to the second verse of this song because it says, many times Satan whispers, there's no need to travel. Yeah. You ever feel like that? But there's no end of sorrow. There's no hope by and by. Doesn't some of these days seem like that? There's no end of sorrow. And then, but the last part of this verse says, but I know thou art with me.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'll rise, for the storm will never darken the skies.
Just do it.
Love you.
Sing that verse. Just that verse.
Okay.
You all sing with him, okay? He needs the help.
Many times, Satan has heard.
Scare you away or something? Yes.
I'm just thankful for what my Lord did for me at Calvary, that I'm worthy of all the blessings that I get now.
Amen. Imputed worthiness. He's worthy, been imputed to you, and you have been saved. He's given it to you. Amen. Somebody else. Come on now. Not to twist any arms. The young lady back there with her curls in her hair.
Well, I'm thankful for our family that sometimes you wonder how things are going to work out in your life when you're young and now you're older. But our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren are all in church today.
Amen. Good, good. All right. We want to sing one more song. I'm going to go from here while we're singing the song up there.
Okay.
I don't want to see anybody see me stumbling up the stairs. So we're going to...
We'll keep this thankfulness.
Amen. You got it.
For making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for the flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue, thank you, Lord, for every sparrow that sings and makes sweet melody for the river that flows, the rain and the snow. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Saving my soul, thank you, Lord. Learn this chorus because we're going to sing it at the end, all right? For my whole family, for the joy my children bring, for shoes on our feet, plenty to eat, thank you, Lord. For the church where I worship and pray, and for the freedom I have today, for your spirit I feel, your presence so real. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for making me saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. How are you going to learn it if I don't sing it right? For being a friend so dear, and giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand, I thank you, Lord, for giving your life Calvary, for taking my place in mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Try the chorus with me. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Saving singing?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And I enjoyed your singing. And make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye people. Take your Bibles, if you would. Glad to be in God's house today. And God's done great, great, great things. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And I'll probably just do one verse this morning. We'll start this morning. Hopefully we'll be done by the afternoon. And in my hand, I hold the book. The book is called the Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Remember that from Sunday school? B-I-B-L-E. You had to be a good speller to go through Sunday school. And then they spell it backwards and leave words out and letters out of me. And it's good, the Bible. In my hand, I hold a book. There are many, many reasons people are thrilled about going to heaven. I'm going to heaven, can't wait. Going to see Jesus, can't wait. Heaven's a wonderful, what, bright and fair. Praise the Lord, I'm going there. Be there forever. Can't wait. And there are multitudes of reasons why we are excited about going to heaven. But I believe each one of us want to be found faithful until that time comes. God has a job for every one of us to do. There's an opportunity for every one of us to do something for God. We don't always know how big or how the big outcome will be of what we're going to do for God. But do something for God. My wife tells me that all I ever say is do something for God. Only when life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And we need to, no matter how young we are, no matter how old we are, everybody gets a thrill about the children being here. I mean, that's you know, and that's great. Mom and Dad, bring the children. Grandma and Grandpa, bring the children. Do whatever we can. Do something for God. I don't know what your capabilities are. And I know you may at times stretch your capabilities. You might be asked to do something that you say, well, I don't think I can do that. Well, if God wants you to do it, he'll give you the abilities. He'll give you the background that you need, the wisdom that you need to do something for God. I want to encourage you to be a little bit kind of like overboard in witnessing for the Lord. An absolute necessity in the cold and callous culture that we live in. Just be caught singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Some of you have great voices and you call attention to what you're singing, not to yourself, but what you're singing. Some of us have terrible voices, and when we sing, we have the attention of wherever we're at. And you just get around. My point being is that we want the Word of God to radiate in this culture once again. America's on its way to hell, and it's a danger in place to be in. We've never been in this condition before as a nation. So desperate for a spiritual revival. And we pray for it, yes, but we need to participate in it in some way. You ever been accused of being a religious fanatic? Somebody said, that's all you ever want to do is talk about the Bible. That's good. And that's an honor for somebody to say, well, you're one of them religious nuts or whatever, you know, the type of thing we need to have. I'm telling you, go out and be crazy. I'm just saying we need to have some folks who love the Lord and are just naturally that way. Ma and I were married 55 years ago, and I took this ring off several times in the first 5 years, but in those last 50 years, this ring hasn't come off my finger. No, it has not come off. I was in the hospital with that flesh-eating bacteria. They wanted to take the ring off my finger, and at that time, it would come off, could come off. I said, no, you're not. I'm going to keep this ring on my finger until, and when they put me in that little box and put that little white, comfortable stuff around you, you know, puff up the pillow for me, so, you know, I'm not there. I'm not there. I'm there with God in heaven. And so let's work to that end that we would bring more people with us. Entice them, explain to them that they understand the plan of salvation. If you're here this morning and you've never been born again, you've never been saved, you never trusted Christ, why don't you do that this morning? I'm looking at you. Most of you have a smile, a semi-smile, an upside-down frown. You have something that reveals, and people ought to just kind of, from your countenance, they ought to capture the idea that there's something different about you. And that difference is the fact that Christ now lives within you. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into the house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as did aforetime. Heavenly Father, we need this morning your help. And there's never been a time that a person who stood to preach the gospel before a body of believers in earnest ought to be saying, Lord, we need your help. And we need that. And so I pray that you would give me wisdom this morning. I pray that you would give the folks who have assembled here a heart of understanding. And may they hear some things that I never said, but they thought I did, that would help them in their Christian walk. If I say some things they shouldn't have been said, help it not to go to their understanding. May you be exalted and lifted up this morning. And we'll do our best to give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. I'm just going to ramble for a little while, if that's okay. And if you've heard me preach before, you know that's all I ever do is ramble. And my wife says, why do you prepare notes? Why do you study? Why do you... I really don't know. You ever meet somebody who's lost their mind? We're going to pause for about 10 minutes and we're going to have a search for my mind. It's been gone for a long time. It's just not there. And I told God a long time ago that I do whatever He wants me to do. You ever been in a place where somebody asks you to do something and you're not exactly sure you can do it? I took a job. I think it was with McPherson, but anyway, with an engineer. State of New Jersey. Took the job. And they sent me to an office for some reason to talk to somebody about something that I don't remember right now. All I remember is I didn't want to go into the building. So I run around the block about 3 or 4 times trying to find a parking place. There's a dozen of them there, but I'm just trying to find one. Then I finally, and I walked, and I just couldn't do it. At other times, you know, you got to stand in front of people and give a speech or speak. I'll take the F before I'll stand in front of people. And so I need your help this morning. Once again, this is a two-way street. This pulpit will give you good preaching as long as you are good listeners. You're getting the idea, as long as you are good listeners. And that's not too bad, but I'm not exactly sure I've got your full support. I can say nothing, and you should get something out of it. All right? We need to come to church in expectation. One of the things that I've enjoyed about coming to church here is it seems, from my observation, my wife's, that you're expecting something. When you sing, it's just not like, okay, we're going to sing another song so we can get to preaching. We're going to sing another song so we can get home. No. You know, you'd like to take the clock and unplug it and cut the wire or whatever so it stays at 11:30, and we could sing for a while. And sing for a while. And sing for a while. Amen? Amen. I mean, we sing because we're happy. And so we're here today, and you're here today. I want to get something out of you. You want to get something out of me, but let's put this together. You want to get something out of the Word of God. You want to get something out of the Word of God. And if you came to church in expectation, you'll go out satisfied. But if you just came because of habit, well, it's Sunday morning, this is my routine, this is what I do, this is where I go, this is what... No. You ought to be sitting out there that I'm going to hear something for the very first time. If you do hear something that I say for the very first time, let me know. There's nothing new under the sun, and that's where I sleep most of the time, under the sun. So you need to have a desire to get something from the Word of God. And then take it and put it into practice. The world out there needs what you know. I'm not saying you're a Bible scholar, but the world needs what you know. What do you know? You know that Jesus saves. You know that I'm a sinner. You know that the way that heaven is by the way of the cross. You know enough to tell somebody about Jesus. Mike, take a blank piece of paper and write real big amen on it. And that way I can just hold it up. Amen. 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 Daniel chapter 6. And verse number 10. I want to mention that 5 things this morning concerning Daniel's personality. It's concerning his countenance, because his character. Just in this one verse, we'll not turn to another verse at this moment, but we'll not turn to another verse. Songwriter said, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. Your testimony times were great. Dare to make it known. Isn't it good what God's done for you? I mean, you've got eternal life. The vast majority of population Earth does not have what you have. They don't have it. It's free. It's offered to them. But they never were sold on it. They never bought it. They never recognized it as reality in their life. But you've got it. But we need to make it known. Somewhere, somehow, some way, we need to make it known. We do not well if we keep it to ourselves. And I'm concerned that we are, as a group of people, it's all about us. And it ought to be all about Jesus. And it ought to be all about those that need to know Jesus. I'm going to heaven, can't wait, yes. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Daniel was firm in his purpose. Daniel was firm in his person. Too many folks today not like Daniel, but too many are not fixed in their purpose. We're not sold on Jesus. We're not sold on the body of believers. We're not sold. We don't have a purpose. When you heard that alarm clock go off this morning, "Woo, praise God, it's Sunday morning." Or, "Oh, no. Some of you sit out there and pray that the preacher doesn't preach too long. Some of you say, "Well, it's good. He'll put me to sleep again this week. I've come tired. I'm going to go home refreshed." Not because I heard a lot, but because I slept a lot. Daniel was firm in his purpose. I ask you that question. How firm are you in your purpose? To communicate the gospel. You know, the more you do it, the more you keep the line flowing clean, the more effectual, the more efficient you are going to be. Once you get into the flow of talking to others about Jesus, it becomes much more natural, much more meaningful. And Daniel, he was not ashamed of who he was. Verse number 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writings were signed, he went into his house." He was combating an opposing force. You are today combating an opposing force. Once on applications, they might ask you what religion you were. They don't ask that question anymore. You have opposing forces. It's not advantageous to let people know you're a born-again Christian, that you're a fanatic, that you live for God, that you have a Bible point of view when it comes to life. Daniel was very firm in his purpose. And I'm trying to, in some way, entice us to have that same firmness. Too many folks that we meet along the way, "Well, we used to, and we used to, and we used to, and we used to." We know because of circumstances beyond our control, we don't have an evening service tonight. But we are saying we used to, but we are going to. It's in the mix. It hasn't left. It's there. Circumstances beyond control mandate certain things that happen all along the way. I thought for a period of time I'd never miss a Sunday service. You know, that perfect attendance for who knows how many years and so forth and so on, until I got the flesh-eating bacteria and so forth. And so then I wanted to go, but they didn't want me to come. They didn't want me around until I was able to be around and was back into it. A firm purpose. "Therefore, my beloved..." I'm in now 1 Corinthians 15:58. We're going back to Daniel chapter 6, but you can turn to 1 Corinthians 15. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." With a show of hands in just a moment, as you turn in to find that, but just be thinking about it. Was there not somebody who was influential in bringing to you the gospel message? Wasn't there somebody? You know, there was very, very, very few people would pick up the Bible and just start reading and saying, "I got saved. I understood the gospel." Somebody come up alongside you and explain something. Somebody prayed with you. Somebody explained something. And that's what our job is now that you got born again. We need to get up with somebody somewhere along the way. They may not want to hear it. My brother Joe was embarrassing because he was a religious fanatic. He was a religious nut. He just would talk about Jesus anytime, any place, anywhere, under any circumstances. That was it. I remember being in the garage, the mechanic's underneath there changing some type of gear up underneath. He's got the car over the top of his head, and my brother leans underneath him. "Sir, if you were to die right now, where would you go?" There's 2 tons of metal over top of his head. He captured that man's attention. I don't think he knew what he was doing, you know, but there's that man underneath there. It looked like he was trying to hold the car up. And my brother says, "If you were to die right now..." I'll tell you what, that man got serious about life and death. So every time you see a gas station, pull off and say, "If you were to die right now, where would you go?" But we need to have that earnest. We need to have that desire. We need to have that drive, no matter where we are. I've said it before from behind this pulpit, but I know from personal experience, and I know from observation, that we do visitation Fundamental Independent Baptist Churches do visitation on Thursday night, and they might do it on Sunday morning. It might be on Saturday morning, and designate an hour or two, maybe 3 hours at best, and they'll have visitation, and everybody's watching. Okay, it's 12 noon, we can stop. You go down to the local McDonald's or so forth, and never think about leaving a gospel track. Never think about singing a song. Never think about giving a testimony where others could hear it. But we did our 3 hours of visitation. Now, I'm not downing, mocking that completely, but I am trying to say it takes more than that. It takes more than that. Folks need to hear. They're not accidentally, inadvertently turning on a radio and hearing the gospel message. They're not going to turn on the idiot box and hear a gospel message. So we need to be there. Recognize that you have a purpose, and it's a firm purpose to take the gospel into a lost and dying world. Verse 58 of 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen to this. Do something for God. Do something for God. Your labor is not in vain. Be creative in reaching a lost and dying world. Your labor's not in vain. Daniel was firm in his purpose. They brought him over and they said, hey, look at now, Daniel. And Daniel knew that they had signed the document that would indict him, capture him, secure him. And he knew he had a God in heaven that would take care of him. And when Daniel heard that, he was firm in the purpose. We can't stop. Over the years, and I've told this story too many times, but over the years, we've been challenged about standing firm and true for God. I led a lady to the Lord many moons ago, and her husband wasn't excited that his wife got saved. Because if any man be in Christ, he's what? New creature. And the things we used to do, we don't do them anymore. Well, she got saved, and she got real good saved, and she changed her ways. And I came down a set of stairs, and at the bottom of the stairs was a young man, middle-aged man. Anyway, I come down the stairs, he was standing at the bottom, and I looked down at him, and he looked up at me, and he said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And I thought to myself, I don't think he really wants to do that. I know I didn't want him to do that, but I knew to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. And he had been drinking. And I said, you really don't want to do that. Spent some time. We had an evangelist at the time. And church people were in the auditorium. And I said, well, let's just talk for a little while. And, you know, he's drunk. I'm not going to imitate a drunk. But I said, okay, let's go down the road yonder. And there's a diner down there. And let's get something to drink. And so his car was parked outside there. My car was parked outside there. And he insisted that he was driving. I was going to let him drive. I said, no, I'll drive. He said, he's drunk. He said, I'll drive. And so I wanted to get him sobered up so I can tell him something about the Lord. I get in the car. I said, okay, you can drive. Well, I'm sitting over here, and I'm not sure I was praying for his salvation or for my longevity of life. And you know, and going down there, we got him down to the name of the diner. He says it doesn't matter. We got down to the diner, brought him inside, and got him some coffee. I don't drink coffee. I'm never drunk enough to have to. And we got one person who was listening. That was good. So anyway, I don't like coffee. But anyway, we got in there, and we got him some coffee. And now time's going by, so he's beginning to come out of his stupor from drinking, and he so forth and so on. And we went back to the church, and at that time, there was a sound booth in the back. And I brought him in the sound booth, and preaching was going on out yonder there, and talked to him about the Lord, and he got saved. And I thank God for that. And sometimes we're in places where we are uncomfortable in witnessing for God. Oh, I was telling you that whole story. Saying, we need to do something for God out yonder there, okay? Daniel was firm in his purpose. He was fearless. Fearless. You really mean what you say, mister. You really mean what you say, mister. On that drive down, Belmore Boulevard. On that drive down, he was driving. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. And I played Mr. Cool. I mean, I put the best act I could, that I wasn't nervous, I was just relaxed, so forth and so on. And I don't know how fast he was going. Could have been going 10 miles an hour. I was still scared. But he was going fast enough to scare me. And he said, "Mister," he said, "I think what you're telling me you really believe." I said, "I really do believe it. I'm not ready to go to heaven. I'm not anxious to go to heaven." You know? He said, you really believe what you're telling me." And that's when he got saved, back when he got him back into the sound room there. Fearless in principle. Now, I'm not saying to be crazy. You ever go knocking on a door, or you go to visit somebody and you hear the little chihuahua barking? And that chihuahua, by the time you tell your wife, it was at least 120 pounds. It had teeth like a tiger, claws big enough to scratch every part of your body apart. But I witnessed for it. No. We need to be fearless in our principles. You always hear the story about, you know, I'll knock on the next door. Nobody was home. It's your turn. Yeah. We need to have folks who will speak one way, one place. I'm not teaching a lesson on soul winning, knocking on doors, or how you do it, or who speaks for it, or whatever. We need to get the gospel out of this place into some other places. I think the disciples did something like that, didn't they? I think the apostles did something like that, didn't they? So we need to get it out and into the marketplace. Daniel was firm in his purpose. Daniel was fearless in his principles. These windows were open, and so that Jerusalem, so that the people on the outside could see that something was happening on the inside. And I thank God for that. He was fearless in his principles. Point number three, Daniel was faithful in his performance. He simply kneeled. He kneeled. I've been with folks, and we're going to encounter a particular man, and they'll say, "Let's pray." And then they start bending down. Well, I don't mind praying, but in a restaurant where everybody's going to see me, they were firm. They were concerned. They were not. We need to get out of our shells, out of our, and into the fact, I'm just loving Jesus. You pray at home at your mealtime? Yes. Do you do silent prayer, or does the head of the family pray, or mommy prays or something? And we usually don't pray silent prayer in the home. But we got this idea when we're someplace else and we don't want to call attention to ourselves. And I'm talking about praying for a show. I'm not talking about praying for a show. I'm talking about, it's real. It's real. Ma's now insisted that I pray every time we get in the car. I mean, every time. I'm driving like a maniac nowadays. And so she figures her only chance of getting out the door is that she gets me to pray before we pull out. I mean, we'll just go around the block once and say, we'll pull up. It's time to pray, Reb. No, she doesn't say it. But, you know, I've learned to pray. We ought to pray. We ought to expect something from God and not take it for granted that it's going to be an automatic, yeah, yeah. We need to pray. Daniel was, if I can say it, faithful and fearless in his principles. He was fearless in praying. He simply said, pray, and he prayed. Daniel 6:10, go ahead back there if you're not there. He kneeled upon his knee three times a day, and praying. Everyone has a different, protocol, about praying. Some folks like to pray when you go to bed. Some of you like to pray when you get up early in the morning. Some of you like to pray three times a day. But man ought always to pray and not to faint. You have little children growing up, and maybe something didn't go right. Maybe the mortgage money wasn't sufficient to take care of the payment. And you're sitting at the table, and you and your wife are sitting there, and you're kind of like discussing, and your seven-year-old knows enough about money. And he'll say, "Why didn't you pray?" Hush up. I'm the daddy here. Yeah, but we learned in Sunday school, you ought to pray. All right. And all of a sudden, he comes through with God's remedy for your dilemma. He's just waiting to hear from you. Man ought always to pray. I'm going to say it because it's kind of trite. But what we need in this church, what we need in this community, what we need in this county, what we need in this state, what we need in this country, we need more folks praying. More folks praying. It does not, I don't know if I said this in here, if I'm repeating myself, I apologize, but we have midweek prayer time, midweek service, and we relegate it to praying, and we spend 20 minutes, maybe on a good Wednesday night, we'll spend 30 minutes praying, and for some, that'll be it for another 7 days. And we're expecting to move God to redeem our churches, redeem our country, redeem our families. I think it might take a little bit more than that. It would be, if my wife doesn't talk to me from the time we get up until the time we go back to bed, something's wrong. And if I have to say when we get in the car, she sits over behind here, talk to me. Talk, you, next 15 minutes, you have to talk to me. I wonder if God in heaven doesn't realize they're having prayer today because somebody scheduled it. They're having prayer today because somebody battered them just a little bit about shallowness in praying. Man ought always to pray. Always to pray. You individually need God's help. I like that. I can do all things. Amen. Where's that man who said that? I can do all things. We need some men who say, I can do all things. What's the add on to that? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I wonder if we didn't raise up some men once again who say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need God's help. We need God's help. I'll keep doing that until I get dizzy or you say a few more amens. We need God to help us do. I'm glad to see faces out there. Amen? Wouldn't it be good to see a few more faces out there? Or a few more backs of the heads? Because some of you are sitting, you know, you don't see the face. I see all your faces. Oh my, pray for me. I don't believe it's wrong to smile in church. Now, you can correct me if you want to, okay? I'm going to count to three. I want everybody to smile. One, two, three. Let's go back to where we were. Please. Please. Now, anyway, we are happy people. Remember? We are happy people. And what did I say after that? Tell your face. We are not trying to sell a commodity, but we're trying to convince a lost and dying world that they need the Lord Jesus Christ who manifests himself in your life. Daniel was faithful in performance. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. We don't need to open the window so our neighbors can see us, but it would not be inappropriate to pray where they can see us. You don't need to hide in a corner. And at the same time, you don't need to turn the porch light on at 12 midnight and have a midnight prayer hour. But if it was convenient and proper, then you want to do it. But they were faithful in performance. We said, number one, Daniel was firm in purpose. He was fearless in principle. He was faithful in his performance. Usually on Saturday afternoon, my wife will say to me, honey, what's the text for this week? And I'll create some type of cliche type of thing. And this is one of them from somewhere back. To stay on your feet, you must stay on your knees. In order to stay on your feet, stay right with God, you've got to stay on your knees. And here we find that Daniel kneeled. Now, some of it was because... The kneeling is an act of humility. Some of us, just for the very fact that we just can't bend over. Talked to a young lady this morning, the knee problem. All right? You can't get back young as I am right now, but, you know, having a knee problem, that's never going to happen. until yesterday. You know, and it's there. We need to kneel. We need to humble ourselves. But I think it's not so much the physical as it would be the spiritual. We don't come demanding from God, God, you've got to take care of my electric need. God, if it be your perfect will and you'd be pleased to take care of this, you want to teach me something that I wasn't doing what I ought to do so I didn't have such a big bill? You know, what are you saying? What? You're saying the TV takes a lot of electric? And I'm asking you to help me pay the electric bill? And I hear whispering, shut the idiot box off. Shut the idiot box off. And why is the old man so much against the TV set? Because it's damned the nation. From our televangelists right down to the trash that's on it. That's one of the reasons we're in such a bad shape. You know, they made them today. I don't know how in the world they make them. They used to make with little knobs that you can turn them off. Today, every once in a while, what does this thing do? You know? You follow what I'm saying? No? That's all right. Go home and find it. I got a better idea. It just came to me. I'm such a genius. If you can't find the whatever you use to turn it on and off, just cut that. No, don't do that. Unless you have plastic scissors. But just pull the plug out. Pull it out. And find out that you have a wife. Not a life, but find out you have a wife. And then you can find out that you have a life. Uh-huh. And this light right now is shining in my eyes, so I can't even see your face, whether you're smiling or you're ready to throw something. But we need to have stronger Christianity. We need to have stronger performance of our Christianity. We said Daniel was firm, Daniel was fearless, Daniel was faithful, and Daniel was fervent in prayer. I like this. Verse 10, that's where you're at. Two words. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed. He prayed. Could we once again get in the habit of praying? I know teaching school, I could see our students before they took an exam, they would then pray and pray. But you might want to pray before that happens. One more point and I'll be done. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10. Daniel was filled with praise. He was filled with prayer, performance, principle, and purpose. But he was filled with praise. The last phrase in this verse, verse 10, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. It ought to be a mindset. We're here to praise God for all the blessings. Yeah, but I see some folks out here have been more blessed than I've been blessed. I see some of you folks with great intelligence. I see some of you folks with great handsome, whatever you want to call that. I see some of you, and wow. And then I look in the mirror and say, oh, my soul. We've been blessed, and we praise God. Amen. We praise God. You can't always do what the next person can do, but you can always praise God. You may not be able to sing and play a piano like this young man, but you can praise God that you can hear it. And if you can't hear it, you can feel the vibrations. That's the way deaf folks listen to that music. Close your eyes sometime, get your hand on, stick your fingers in your ears too, and you know, pretend you're blind. That's, God's been real good to us, has he not? Amen. And God wants to continue to bless. And I think God is desirous to bless a body of people who come together and say, I don't know what you came to do, but I just came to praise the Lord. And that's praise is there. There's always something to praise God about. Amen? Always something to praise God about. Daniel was filled with praise, and he gave thanks before his God and did aforetime, as he did aforetime. I jotted down here on my little piece of paper. You ought to be always looking for something to praise God about. Always looking for something to praise God about. I'll not give you a list of examples right now, but is there something this morning you can praise God about? He loves the praise of his people. Mom and dad, aren't you thrilled when your children tell you how great you are? You may be thinking that, but they'll praise you for the meal you made for them, for doing your clothes. I think we do well in telling God, I just want to praise you today. I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to testify of your goodness. Just God, just you and me, just talking about how good you've been. to me and all the blessings. Well, Daniel was a man who purposed in his heart. May we be that man. Heavenly Father, bless something that was said from behind the sacred desk this morning. Lord, it was a good touch of rambling, but Lord, you can take that which was said as it went across the airways and fell on ears, that people might hear something, even if it wasn't said, but the Holy Spirit brought something to mind, to the heart, to the thought process. We thank you for what you've done here. Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of your people, not just this moment, not just this day, but in days past. And Lord, thank you, Lord, that the doors are open, the lights are on, the people have gathered, and a heart's desire is to keep it where it ought to be and to march down the road as onward Christian soldiers. Give you praise for what you've done, but Lord, we want to praise you today for what you're doing, and over and above that, what you will do in the days that lie ahead. Give a vision. We know that life is difficult unless we have a vision, unless we have an understanding, your intent for our hearts and our lives. Do that, I pray. With heads bowed, eyes closed, what is your vision? What is your desire? What is your hope? What is your dream? It kind of keeps you moving. Men of the Bible, they had a vision. They had a dream. They had an aspiration. They had a hope. They had a desire. May that be ours. Maybe we're a dad and we have a couple kids and we have a desire for their spiritual well-being. And there might be one here this morning that looks like they're saved, looks like they're going to heaven, but Lord, you know the heart. And not one of us would judge another, but we would encourage one another to reaffirm the truth of their salvation and their understanding and their walk with you. Speak to hearts and lives. And then, Lord, there's some who need to say, I just got to get busy once again in some phase. I wouldn't mention what phase, any phase. I need to get busy once again in serving you. Bless this song. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You got it.
Time is drawing near where the Lord Jesus is going to return. and then it'll be too late to do more for you in this life. So help us to be prepared and to be faithful in accomplishing the task you've given us to do. Help us not to get sidetracked by the affairs of this life. Help us to remember the task that we've been given, both as individuals, as families, as a church body. May we serve the Lord, being faithful in whatever task we've been given to do. May you be honored and glorified by all that's said and done as a result of what we've heard today. In Jesus' name, amen. Good day.